Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From Hollywood, California, Meltdown Comics, Harmontown is now in session. Please welcome to the stage the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
I don't understand. Jeff, why are all these people here? It's the Super Bowl. Why is our audience here?
I'm assuming that they came straight from their Super Bowl parties and made it just in time.
We should get it out of the way, right? We should do a sports corner. Sorry. Sports corner, doing the sports, throwing the balls, and you know what's worse than playing sports, doing the thing. It's a team action, makes you sing. Gotta jump up and down to the organized sports. Jump, jump, yup, yup, sports.
Dan, let me start you off. Just
first. Seattle Seahawks, Pats, whatever Pats is short for. I'm not going to play that game. I couldn't not get that information.
Okay. New England Patriots. Okay. First impressions going into the game with all the controversy that led up to it.
Everybody, the controversy. Oh, yeah. There was, well, yeah. It was a weird year this year for the
Dan,
Super Bowl.
Damn, when people put gate on the end of a name of a controversy.
Super Bowl gate?
I'm talking, of course, about the game leading up to the Patriots making it into the Super Bowl, where some of their balls were under inflated.
Oh, there's the deflate gate.
Yeah, there you are.
I did see some of that. I saw in Craig Ferguson or something that they did a funny video where people were spiking footballs and then they photoshopped them just staying put. Somebody said that they were under inflating the balls and that made them easier to catch.
Right.
Yeah, I got that. We're all on the same page.
So going in, you know, hopefully they had that ironed out. What did you think about let's go right to the end of the game. Some pretty amazing plays towards the end there.
I mean, there was so much, like, what Tuckerson did with in the 11th hour. Like, you watch a whole game like that, point by point, quarter by quarter, and you're watching it's usually, as you know, football is a game of yardage, and that's not always a fun thing to watch. It's not always a dramatic thing to watch. In baseball, it's like, oh, he popped a fly to the third, and it's a big deal. Every batter that comes up has an opportunity to create a story. In football, it's a team effort. It's the long lost American dream. You got a quarterback, you got a receiver, you got a linebacker, you got a fat back, a wide receiver in case the line receiver fails. The quarterbacker has to throw the ball, and the point is yardage, and it's an accumulation of that yardage. And so we watched that happen tonight, the Super Bowl. And so a lot of people were turned off by that. But at the very end of the game,
well,
dramatic turn of events. There was, the guy ran and caught the ball.
He did, but then they were right about
but
to score.
They were right in the end zone, and the guy right before the end zone, and the other guys did what they're supposed to do.
Correct.
But there was a question about whether they did it right.
They did it right.
They did it right.
But there was a question, but the answer was yes, they did it right.
There was a question of whether or not the guy that had caught the ball had caught it right.
Right. There's always a question about that, and which is why they have the referees out there on the field. And in that particular instance, the answer to the question, did he catch it right, was yes.
He caught it right.
Yeah.
So it didn't matter now, what the other people
now
did.
Now, what do you think about the halftime performance?
Oh, those musicians. I haven't seen them in, what, 10, 11 years?
A few of them a little bit longer than that.
I just thought, and the combination of those musicians.
Correct.
Who would have thought that those musicians would appear in that combination?
I mean, were you expecting a kind of early 90s-ish black kind of rock and roll?
No, I wasn't. Of course I wasn't expecting that. Yeah. It's a halftime at the Super Bowl. I'm expecting nothing more than the president of football to come out and throw candy. Who would have known that superstar from the mid-90s?
Uh-huh. Kind of supermodel dating. Kind of a
Cindy Crawford?
I don't know.
Cynthia Bloomberg?
No, he was
Madonna did that. No,
it's a guy.
Perry Farrell.
Perry was the last name of the girl that was the headliner in it.
What?
Katy Perry.
Katy Perry.
You said
Katy Perry. Katy Perry. Okay, that was. Don't applaud that. He said the. mixing Katy Perry with those guys, crazy guys. It's crazy. Like she's like such a pop, sugar pop bubblegum.
Mr. Cab Driver.
Just when you're thinking like I'm being fed some top 40 bullshit, I don't want to eat bubblegum for a living. I'm a working man. Then comes the vroom, 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 the fucking hard driving.
Guitar
overdriven fucking dark. Six strings of that fucking band that shouldn't be with Katy Perry.
He was mostly just kind of a solo guy.
Fucking like Jethro Tull.
As I said before, black gentleman.
Black?
Kind of. American Woman. He covered that one time. Remember, you loved that. Mr. Cab Driver. And he was pretty big. And his lady.
BB King came out.
Lenny.
John Steinbeck came out and fucking right out. Black
guy named Lenny.
Black Lenny. Lenny Kravitz. That's all you had to say. Black Lenny came out. I call him Black Lenny. Who would have thought he'd be with Katy Perry? That's crazy. I don't have reason to question my consumerist lifestyle.
Yeah.
Not if these two are hooking up in the 50-yard line.
And then the female rapper came out towards the end.
Oh, my God, when Pharrell came out.
Holler! Look, I didn't know who it was until she said that. And her name was on the TV. I would not have known.
Oh, is it a lady? A lady rapper?
A lady rapper.
Little Kim.
I think a little older than
Natalie. Natalie. Rapper. Lil Johnson.
If it's not a hit,
it's a Missy Elliott came out. Amazing. And that, it's like not only, talk about ending the culture war and getting back to shopping. Like, it was a great, great halftime. I thought it's that time of year when we all realize there's nothing going wrong. And then whoever won. It was either the bird people or the fucking aqua people. I don't know. And it was the important thing is that the right team won because it was the team the corporation that owned it spent the right amount of money aggregating dumb people from colleges around the country who had been passed up through corrupt systems. And assembled into a team so that you could overcharge people to watch and generally train people for jingoism in arenas and around the world.
What was your favorite commercial of all? Because that's always a big thing.
I actually know about the commercials because people were tweeting me and going, you got to see the Liam Neeson one.
Oh, yeah.
The Liam Neeson was in a commercial. The two commercials that I saw, and I don't know if it was because there were two commercials I saw were for apps. They were for like gaming apps. That was weird. Yeah. Liam Neeson did an ad for Clash of Clans, uh-huh. and then there was another ad I got sent that was some
Game of War,
some lady, yeah, Game of War is a thing. It was just another thing. I don't know. Did Bud Light do anything? Did
there seemed to be a lot of commercials about fathers neglecting their children, and then there was a really horrifying one by Nationwide Insurance, I think, about your baby's going to be murdered by your negligence around the house. And it was just like, don't let your kid die. We'll save you from that. And it was
I mean, if we haven't figured out by now that that's what insurance is a protection racket. I remember when I was like 20 years old, an envelope that I got in the mail, there was literally a photo of Christopher Reeves post-accident, Christopher Reeves, on the envelope that said, don't let what happened to me happen to you. And it was an ad for an insurance company. Oh. That's exactly what the mafia does in mafia movies. Except they have the courtesy to not involve the guy. Like it would just be a guy in a suit going, don't let what happened to Christopher Reeves happen to you. It'd be a shame. It'd be a shame for that to happen. It's amazing to me that we haven't caught on to this yet, that our laws that protect us from the mafia, actually, if you actually applied them in an objective sense, would you should go after insurance companies. Here's another thing. Guess what? Airline companies are a cartel. Look up the word cartel. Cartel. I know you think the word cartel means a Mexican drug dealer. It doesn't. A cartel is a collection of companies, a collection of profit-seeking groups who are supposed to be in competition, who aren't in competition, who work with each other to minimize the consumer service and maximize their own profits. Airline companies, cartel, antitrust laws. Hey, I learned about them in high school too. Not applicable. Haven't applied them in the last 30 years. Like, what the fuck happened to antitrust? You're supposed to break up any company that is imposing any threat to the competition. So, key component to fucking capitalism. Competition. Competition. No one is supposed to be safe in capitalism. Nobody. Even the guy at the very top, the guy that sells you all the candy, should be looking over one shoulder. Every time Willy Wonka starts his car, he should be like, I hope Snickers doesn't get me. They're not supposed to have secret meetings. They're not supposed to share like information. They're not supposed to have all the same board members on their board of directors. Fuck you, people.
I was on an Alaska Airlines flight, and they stopped providing blankets, and it's cold flying up there. Man.
I bet you could get them for a $5 upgrade fee. There was an article in the New Yorker or whatever I tweeted that it's a fucking expose of a goddamn cartel. They JetBlue just ended its hey, you're a human being, you want to get somewhere, let's just give you. JetBlue just ended it. JetBlue was seeing profits. They were a profit. Seeing airline, they were doing fine. JetBlue's gimmick was, I believe there was no first class on JetBlue. Was that the case? Or
I think it was all the seats were kind of equally
it
all
was
right.
Generally, yeah. Like it's kind of nice to fly JetBlue. Let's just try this. Like let's try this as an experiment. And the experiment was working fine. They weren't going to go out of business. Nothing was going to happen to them. They stopped it anyway because the stockholders in JetBlue said, ugh, this obsession with pleasing the customer. Ugh. We don't want to buy your stock anymore. You are obsessed with pleasing the customer. And the way you make a profitable airline is you slowly reduce the amount of fucking human space that you have in coach, economy, whatever the fuck you call it, pencil plus. Now there's 95 classes, and they're all of them like are shrinking down. I compulsively fly first class because they got me. They got me. But my like even in first class, white people problems, platinum edition, like first class is shrinking too. There's a sometimes there's a room upstairs I think where everyone's in an egg like in an egg. It's like secret class or something. I'm sure that's getting bigger and bigger. It's like that's where in case you're flying with one of the 700 people that has all the wealth in the United States. But their business model is to shrink and shrink and shrink everything that you have as an airline passenger, and so that and offer you. Did you want Perk Plus? Did you want to put your feet on a somewhere that's not behind your head? That you're a Perk Pluser. Did you want a Perk Pluser Pluser? And they just move you like boarding first and being allowed to have a backpack and did you want to bring Q-tips and they sell everything to you as like this upgrade. It's fucked up, man. And they agree on it with each other. They all have to have meetings about this, and they go like, okay, how many centimeters leg room are we calling luxury? Because if they don't agree on that, someone could fuck up really bad by 6 centimeters. That makes a huge difference on a 9-hour flight.
What about like Virgin America or Virgin Atlantic? They seem like they're a nice airline to fly.
Yeah, I don't know where Virgin falls. I
fly them a lot, and they seem like they're kind of doing their own kind of groovy thing.
I don't know, but also, my eyes on you, airlines. That's the moral of that story. Oh, do you want to do a new segment? It's called Things That I Say Off the Cuff That I Swear. Like, if somebody on Parenthood said it, like, it would, like, be, like, an amazing piece of dialogue.
Okay, I've been experimenting going through our new, because I can't use licensed music anymore, I found this today in hopes that maybe this might happen.
Okay, all right.
Okay, it's
all right, things I said tonight just while getting dressed with Aaron that I'm like, wow, I sound like an NBC character.
Are you ready?
Yeah. Every once in a while.
It's short.
So Aaron and I were talking about beards, and I was talking about how I saw some red carpet fashion lady on the red carpet say, like, well, you can expect a lot of beards this year from the men. And I was like, yeah, I've had a beard for a long time. Okay, well, everybody's finally doing beards. And Aaron and I were talking about the beards and like what is that culturally? And Aaron was like, I don't want to put words in Aaron's mouth, and it's a hot button topic, so I'm not putting words in Aaron's mouth. This is what I remember hearing. Aaron was talking about how, like, is that a thing that's motivated from the feminine side, like based on what women want? She was talking about, is it a possible reaction to over metrosexuality? Like, are we, you know, like then the women are like craving like something else? We were having that conversation in the privacy of our own home. And then she said, it's definitely a heterosexual trend, the beard. It's not a gay trend. And then she went in the bathroom, and then I was standing alone in the bedroom, and I went, a gay trend. Imagine being in charge of figuring out what those are. Talk about finding a needle in a needle stack. Because to me, gay people are a trend. All right. Moving on.
Wait, real quick, on the beard thing, because I've been grousing about the beard business, because yeah, I live in like Los Feliz, which is near Silver Lake, which is the Williamsburg, which is the hip neighborhood of the city that has the hip neighborhoods. And I was in a restaurant in Brooklyn like a month or two ago having brunch, and there were 15 guys in there, including me. 14 of those guys had the same fucking Hammurabi, big-ass, down-to-their-fucking-collarbone beard.
Whoa.
Yeah. And it's like, you can't all have the same fucking beard. That's crazy. If you walked in the room and you were all wearing the same hat, you're crazy people.
I just like an I told you so. Like, I mean, everything I do, like, 10 years later, everybody starts doing it.
You were the last to get a podcast, though.
That's true, yeah.
But now I
got a video podcast. Like,
I skimmed a couple articles that people sent me because they know how much I have a beef about this whole beard craze. And the phrase lumber sexual, and it's like guys wearing...
Lumber sexual!
And they have like... They wear the plaid shirts, and they have the beards, and it's a reaction to the... Not just women's need to have men that are more masculine, but men's need to reclaim masculinity from...
That was where I immediately went. But any woman that told me, oh, no, women kind of define... You know, what women say men an attractive man looks like you got to believe under the surface that's what's... Like, we do, we'll do... It's a weird dance we have where, like, it's like men's gimmick is like, I don't give a shit, but... And that's sort of a staple of masculinity too. And then but like obviously women are cracking the whip. Like, that sexual reproduction, it all of the changes are cued by the female side. Like that is a that is as old as plant life. Like when we divided from asexual organisms into a male and female, the only thing that's consistent between like all of the species from when we were flowers until what we are now is basically that the reason it speeds up Darwinian selection is because it like compounds it with half of the species dictates how you get to the egg. And that half of the species kind of tends to. That's why you see in those nature shows like these. The bird is like going like, what the fuck is the bird doing? Like it has to do like 900 things in order to just get
it
near.
It has to grow iridescent feathers and shit.
Yeah, and like the lockhorn beetles and they like there's all this weird shit they have to do, and it's like some of it is like an odd like random thing, and it's like it's because there's so much energy coming out of if you divide your species in half and endow one half with the green light. That's not sexism. That is as old as vegetation.
Yeah, Drew Carey used to joke that every guy cuts their hair like they had it when they were getting laid all the time. But that's how
yeah, I know. And that's why you look at George Lucas, and it's like, yeah, guess what happened?
Sure, I'm gonna make a ninth movie, and it's like
you're just looking at his pompadour. It's like, yeah. Like George, you could get your hair cut by a thousand robots every morning. Like he can have nano scissors injected into his hair follicles. George Lucas could afford to have like the perfect haircut for sure.
As far as he's concerned, I think he has the perfect.
Yes, exactly. Because that's the haircut
all that 1977
he had.
Pussy.
That's the haircut he had the night that something happened to him sexually that he doesn't connect to American Graffiti. Like he's like, yeah, she really liked me.
Now, I heard another thing, and I did not follow up on this, and in keeping with last week's theme of unverifiable facts that we don't know anything about, but we must make other people Google, is that there was apparently I heard there was a reaction among the bear community, like the bearded gay gentlemen who are, you know, the little heavier, like bearded, like
the Harmons.
The Harmons, yeah. They did not get that from you, the bear culture.
Oh, no, they had it.
Okay, yeah. But like, but they're apparently like, they feel like they're being co-opted by a bunch of straighties going out there and dressing up like bears.
Ah, they'll be all right. They're bears. They're fine.
Do we have any bears here? Any self-identifying bears? Yeah?
Oh, shit. Well, now that we know you're just kidding, it's weird for you to go, yeah.
It should have been rawr.
Yeah, yeah. I've met bears. I like bears. I like that idea.
When I was in Palm Springs for New Year's Eve, I forgot my swim trunks at home back in L.A., and so I went to this place to go buy them, and I went to this place called Gaymart USA, which is, by its own admission, America's favorite gay superstore. And they sell, among other things, really good bathing suits. Also, lots of cock rings and lube. And like, fancy underwear and stuff. So I thought it'd be funny if I went back to the party, because we're all doing shopping for this big New Year's Eve party that's going to happen, and a bunch of people are going to come I didn't know. And so I'd bought, you know, we've all got snacks, and there's food, and there's booze, and there's all this stuff. So I wanted to find, they have these little cock rings that look like lifesavers, a little bigger than that, but they're jelly, like kind of stretchy little jelly things. And they come in little plastic lifesaver wrappers. And so I thought, they're really, like, they're not expensive. So I just buy a big bunch of them, put them in a bowl, and have those next to, like, the pretzels and shit. And they'd be like, you can have cock rings, because everyone's going to come with couples more or less to this party. I thought, okay, let's put the cock rings up. So I asked the gentleman behind the counter at Game Mart, do you have those little jelly cock rings? All they had were these really high concept looking cybernetic, like Shadowrun cock rings.
I'm going to drink.
All right. Oh, I'll keep talking. So I said, do you have those little gel ones? And he goes, no, we're out of those. They're so great, though. I go, do you know a store? Like, because there's one little strip there that's all these like gay bars and stores and like fashion places. If you go down to Bearware. I'm like, where's Bearware? He's like, it's just $2 down. I go into Bearware. It was the fucking best. Guess what's in Bearware? a bunch of the most adorable bear couples just walking around buying, putting like holding up clothes on a hanger and holding it up to their boyfriend, and like everyone's buying like little outfits and like scarves and things, and I'm up there just talking cock rings with the top brass, and it was really, really nice. I really enjoyed my time at Bearwear. Also, I took the cock rings to the party. Three of them instantly were gone. And no one was talking. I found out later on that two of them were gone. The girlfriends had taken them for the boyfriend because there was going to be lots of drinking involved and they want, you know, a little enhancement later on down the line.
I kind of think maybe a later episode, but like, I want to understand the cock ring concept. So it's
I'll explain it all to you in a moment. One of the cock rings was out of the wrapper next to the bowl. I'm like, who did this? The guy's like, I thought it was candy.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'd like to understand cock rings, and I'd like to understand the bear community, if there is, you know, if there's a bear Harmontown out there.
We must. I'd like to think we have a few bear fans out there.
It'd be nice. I sometimes feel like we somehow marginalized the marginalized on our show.
I feel like the bears do a pretty good job of saying, like you have a store called Bearwear, and in there everybody looked like exactly what I wanted bears to all look like. It was really cool.
Frankly, I'd like to see more black people in the audience, and I'd like to see more gay people, but you can't see them as well. But we often ask, like, who's gay, and it's like, I just want, let's throw some ladies in there, too. Like, I'd like to
After black people and gay people?
In keeping with the American tradition, yeah. It's like, gay people were president. I feel like we're doing something wrong. I feel like I cut this silhouette of some kind of, like, Belushian, like, figure, and I... It's not what I mean to do. I know I'm ignorant. I know I'm clumsy. But I love all people, and I wish we had more black Armenians. It makes me feel like we're doing something wrong.
Yeah.
If you're black and you're out there, well, then you're out there. So you're fine. If you're black and you're out there, I don't want to sound racist, but do you know other black people? Could you tell them to come here?
Are any of your best friends black people?
Right. And now I'm racist for asking you if you have black friends because you're black. I don't want to do that. If you're black and you're out there, thank you. Thank you. Tweet me and let me know if there's something I can do.
What's your name over there?
Jamal.
Fucking. Cha-ching. Jamal, indeed.
But can we? I mean, that's the thing. Like all his friends pointing at him. Like that's why they don't come. They don't want to get sucked into my black hole, my white hole.
Is community? Does it have a large black audience? Do you know?
I don't know. How do you measure that?
Do you get a lot of black people tweeting you and saying I love your show?
No. Rick and Morty, I think Adult Swim has a larger black audience. Yeah. So a lot of this is going to sound crazy, and I don't believe anything about this. I'm only repeating what seems to be the case, but it seems like black audiences like animation a lot. Like they Adult Swim has like a black audience, and Rick and Morty like Community, like episodes will go, and I'll look at the tweets, but then when an episode of Rick and Morty is airing, like there's a lot more like a face that I just go like, oh man, that guy, man, I wish he was my friend. Just with a tweet that's like, this motherfucker just said butter's a disease or something. I don't know. Like they'll like quote like a thing, but they'll kind of quote it in like sort of a street language. And it validates me.
So black people, come on down next Sunday.
And keep watching Rick and Morty, and I love you too. All right, so moving on to a couple more things. So obviously I was right in my predictions about the Jurassic Park 9, whatever, the park is open, and I wasn't psychic. I had heard reports that Chris Pratt is playing a raptor trainer.
in the movie.
Right. does he go out like a quarterback at the end with a bunch of Raptors and they're all going to go?
He certainly
clean
does.
House?
He okay. certainly does. In the newest trailer, it's becoming very clear that he trains Raptors for a living, and he hangs out with them and he loves them. And then like there's this big dinosaur they've made that's like a big. They shouldn't have made this big dinosaur. And then he in this new trailer, he's saying, he goes like, we got to go out there with everything we got. And it cuts to him on the four wheeler with a flock of velociraptors. Everything we got includes his trained raptors.
Did they say this time the girls are cleverer?
Yeah. It's just pretty amazing. There's nothing to it.
I did like the the fact that they had to show it to you. I would like to have not seen it in the trailer, but there's a Jurassic Park SeaWorld and a giant kraken comes out of the ocean and eats like an orca hanging from a string or something like that.
Yeah. Which, by the way, I don't believe would be a part of the real Jurassic Park.
Which parts of it did you buy as real parts of the Jurassic Park?
Well, if there's reptiles that are ancient that are walking on Earth, it's like, I don't think that a park is going to put their money into a tank so big that a gigantic... The creatures in the sea are already prehistoric. Sharks are prehistoric. Like, whales are basically prehistoric. Like, they're fucking old and giant, and it's neat to watch them jump out of water.
But there wasn't a thing, like, you know, 100
yeah, megalo-googalo-boobala. But, like...
now you're being racist.
Guess what's last on your list if you go to Jurassic Park? You're not going to go to the fucking water tank.
How are they going to get the insurance companies to sign off after the first Jurassic Park? Like, what are they going to say? Like, we got it all figured out.
This is a new world. That's the money, Jack. It's the, like, what do you mean?
Are you going to go see it?
I'm not going to go see anything. I'm 42. I will wait the 3 weeks until it's on my wristwatch.
You don't go out to the theater anymore?
Go. If it's Valentine's Day, maybe I'll go see it. But, you know, Paul Rudd better be in it. Or. All right. So, go see it.
You never feel like, oh, this is a movie that's going to be better on a giant screen. I want to go see this on a large screen.
The last time we tried that was Monuments Men. I don't think we've been to a theater since. We're like, all right.
You thought that story about stealing Hitler's art was only going to be great on a big screen?
No, I was just saying, like, I'm not. Movies are for kids. Like, going to see movies are for kids. And then as the kids get, you know, they parlay their parents' money into a new support system for themselves. Eventually, you buy a screen on your wall, and then you wear a bathrobe and you watch the movie on your wall. These guys know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you live in a little shitty apartment. You go to movies, but you dream of this. You dream of rocking the fucking like the boiler room down here
for the non-visual
walking
listener.
Naked around a mansion, barfing and puking and wait, I don't know why barfing and puking. I meant to say burping and pooping.
It's not far off, man.
You want to be Jim Morrison? You want to be what am I? Howard Hughes? You want to? Yeah. So you get the big screen, the wealth distribution. You know, you see that chart. Oh, everybody's got more money as you like. Yeah, you get older and you want that. You want that money. You want that big screen in your house.
Why is this? We spent some money. You spent some money getting all these cameras up. And we got the live stream going on. Why can't we kill this cricket that's been here plaguing us? This is the only theater that has one cricket that never goes away.
He's my conscience.
But how can he listen to you if he never shuts up?
He's telling me just like he's only saying one thing over and over again in case I ever listen, which is like, you're supposed to be at work. Your show needs help.
Are you way behind schedule?
Of course I'm behind schedule. I'll talk about that. All right, last thing on my thing. I really recommend everybody watch this show, Empire. Okay, it's on Fox. It's a show about Terrence Howard plays a hip hop record label mogul. It's like a dynasty. Our friend Enty called it Black Dynasty. He's black. He can call it that.
He's black and he stopped coming to our show.
Yeah. See? Jamal, please move up front next week. We're trying. I tried to, and tell us what we're doing wrong. But it's just a perfect storm of like, I don't know, just watch it. Watch the pilot. It takes you 40 minutes to watch the pilot of Empire. The dad is the mogul. He's running a record label. It's established immediately. He's a record producer. Sorry, I get a little vodka off my mustache. They open
Jamal. That can be yours next week.
The pilot opens on him sitting in like basically a throne, like a cushioned throne, overseeing a chanteuse singing into the microphone in the VO booth, and she's like, "Hello, yeah, yeah," singing a song, some R&B song, and he goes like, "Stop it, stop it," and then he presses the mic button, and he goes like, "I need you to sing as if you just found out you are gonna die," and then she's like, "Hi." And then as she's singing, it intercuts from her singing to him thinking about the fact that earlier today he was in a hospital getting his hospital test results. So we're already knowing that he's going to die. Ooh. But and then he goes in the booth and he goes like, "All right, hold on." And he goes in the booth and he goes like, How you doing? And she's like, "Fine." And he's like, "Do you remember when your brother got shot?"
This guy sounds like a real bully.
He's not a good man.
No.
Sing to him, and then of course she goes back, and then she's like, "I'm not doing a good impression," but of course she sings really well, and it's like that, and it's like that. That's the first 3 minutes of Empire, and it's like that. Just so you now know what a record producer does for a living, if he's good, if he gets results, and
he emotionally terrorizes people.
Yeah. And so then they keep flashing back to the life. So like, I don't want to spoil it all. I'm telling you, just watch the pilot. Because it's like, the thing about the show is like, you're never watching one scene for more than 1 minute. The show is not like, Dallas would be like 8 minutes of two women about to pull each other's hair by the end of the episode. Like, it would set it up the whole time. This is like 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute, 1 minute. There's like eight locations, and like this matriarch Cookie, who gets out of prison in the pilot, goes back and forth between all the eight locations around the clock, and is just stirring shit up, because she, of course, the company was built on her back, and she went to prison. And but the dad, I'll say nothing more about the show, and then you make your decision of whether you want to watch it or not. But in one of the flashbacks to the 90s, when the gangster, the patriarch who founded the label, who used to be a gangster rapper, who previous to that was a real gangster, in one of the flashbacks, he's wearing a do-rag in his one-bedroom apartment's living room, and he's got one baby on his arm, and there's three sons in the show. And then the gay son, because one of his three sons is gay, and the idea is that one of his three sons has to take over the record label because he's dying of ALS, but he's not telling anybody. With his gay son comes into the living room, as gay sons do, wearing high heel shoes and with a scarf around his head, going and like swishing around and going like, "Look at me, I'm like a 6-year-old boy, but here's how you know I'm gay." And the dad gets so infuriated, he scoops the son up, takes him outside, and puts him in the garbage. Puts his son in a garbage can. He throws his gay son away in the garbage and puts the lid over him.
That's a shame. People throwing away a perfectly good black boy like that.
If you're interested in drama, maybe tune into Empire and check it out. There's only 12, 13 episodes.
That's so specific. That has to be based in true anecdotal shit.
Well, because I was so fascinated with it. I've heard rumors that one of the writers or actors like had that experience. So that happened to them. But amazing.
That's all horrifying. Right.
So watch Empire, I think.
How many episodes are there already?
I think there's like 13. I'm three in, and it doesn't slow down. It's pretty fun. So just watch it, will you?
Jamal, do you watch it?
No.
Don't. That's racist to ask him. It's racist to ask him.
No, it's not. It's racist to not be able to ask that.
Ugh.
I can't really, like, you're sitting way back there, the lights aren't on you. I assume that he's the kind of guy that can handle that sort of question.
It's racist to say you can't see him.
I can't see the white people next to him either.
Okay, all right. It's
If I can't, how do I know they're white people?
If I could speak for Jamal for a second.
That's racist.
I'll take that risk.
Okay.
I'm going to speak on Jamal's behalf for 1 second. Right.
You know, we could just bring him up.
No.
Okay,
no.
All right.
Too dangerous. Let's just, come on. Yes. We can't have anarchy.
Okay, guys, yeah. You all heard the trash can story.
I'm Jamal. I'm speaking as Jamal for a second. I wish tomorrow I could wake up and spend an entire day from waking up till I go to bed not being my friend's black friend. Just want to be their friend. I just want to be Jamal. Jamal, do you want to come up and tell us if that's true? Can you come up? No?
I only downloaded a few new songs, and that was an accident. It was that or the new Shadowrun theme. I have very little to choose from. I meant it on purpose.
All right. Well, I mean, how accurate are we?
You're actually like 100% accurate.
Yeah. You wish you knew what it was like to not think about race.
It's just like, I don't know. I see other people around, like, they're hanging out with their friends. I'm like, that's cool, but, like, I don't know how to explain it. Like, I just want to be white, honestly.
All right, good night, folks.
you just made Dan's dreams come true, then.
Let's say you just want to be white, or have everyone in the world suddenly become black, or any other means by which we could erase this concept, which it seems to be an artificial conceit, so that it doesn't eclipse every conversation, every moment. Or were you making fun of me when you said what you said?
I was just making fun of you.
All right. Because so we've entered a generation where you're not thinking about that at all. You don't care. I'm just dragging you down by thinking about it.
Yes.
Okay. So we're just waiting for me to die. That's good though. That's a problem that solves itself. That's good. All right. Well, what else do you want to talk about? You plug in a book or.
I have a mixtape drop in December.
What's your mixtape name?
It's called Straight Fire. It's Straight Fire.
Is that? There's no way to know when you're making fun of me or not.
You get to control. You get to control everything. He gets to make you feel uneasy.
You could easily, like, if you, is there anything that you could link to or anything?
No, I was lying.
Right. Who is the real you? What are you doing?
I'm not sure exactly what you mean.
Well, what are you? Are you a student? Do you have a job?
I'm a student at LMU.
LMU?
Yeah.
LMU? What's L? What is that?
Loyola Marymount.
It's a college.
Where? Tell me what the LMU stands for.
Loyola Marymount University.
Oh, okay.
It's like near USC in that area.
Yeah, kind of between
you
USC.
You seem like you want to go.
It's like south towards the airport, sort of.
Towards the airport.
You got KXLU record, a radio station there, right? Don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty white.
Would you tell some other black kids to come to the show?
I don't know many other black kids.
Okay.
Dan, we got to take baby steps here. You need to be satisfied having any black people here. He's a black guy who listens to podcasts. You know, like he may or may not have only black friends.
Well, I didn't make that mistake. But like the white guy that brought you here.
Yeah, what about him?
Your friend, your white friend. Like, yeah. does he have any black friends?
I'm the black friend.
And you don't really make mixtapes.
No, I don't.
He said he has a mixtape dropping sometime. You drop that off to your girlfriend. That's
yes.
In 1987.
What are you studying?
I'm undeclared right now.
What would be your dream gig if you could like have your pie in the sky? Like, do anything you wanted for a living?
I'd probably be on Community.
Oh.
Fairy tales can come true. It can happen to you.
Well, there's a table in the back that's you put your headshot in a basket back there. Everybody knows that. Is this your first time at the show?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so you don't know about the
table.
Did
you really come in? I know you're joking, but is there a part in your back of your head because you knew that Spencer was just a fan, came one time, and he got on the show? Do any people here harbor a little tiny feeling that maybe they can get... Adam, I know you think that.
Twice.
Huh?
I've been on twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't watch the show.
Yeah, I think Adam started coming to the Harmontown shows because he was on Community, so he got wind of, like, yeah.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Jamal, so other than wanting to be on television, like what is your dream?
I have no idea.
How old are you?
I'm 18.
Oh yeah, you don't have to know yet. Yeah. Do whatever you want.
Be nice if he knew. his parents aren't paying for him to have a lifetime vacation.
Did you know what you wanted to be at 18?
Yeah. I was going to be a sportscaster. And I refused their money, and I worked hard at Marquette University to become a sports journalist.
For real?
Yeah. Or maybe I can lie too. All right, cue the. Let me do some rapping. Yeah. Jamal, you're gonna want to stay for this. Yeah, 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 yeah. From the streets, yeah. From the streets, yeah. From the streets to the streets. From the alley to the streets. From the streets to the road. Fucked your mama like a frog or a toad. Put my dick in her mouth, dissection. I fucked your mama's infection. Gross. Fucked your mama from the ceiling to the floor. Fucked your mama so hard she wanted some more. Fucked your mama down the hall. Fucked your mama in the summer and fall. Fucked your mama in the new way. Fucked your mama till she was gay. Hold on. New area. Okay. Whoa. Yo. 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 Left to the right. Fucked your mama till she lost her sight. Needed a stick to walk around. I fucked your mama till she didn't know what town. Hold on. Jamal, what city are you from? Claremont? Where's that? Is this in California? Oh, God. All right. Yo. J to the A to the M-A-L. I fucked your mama so hard, but she'll never tell. That doesn't mean it was rape. Okay, Jamal, everybody. Thank you.
Thank you, Jamal. Now, Dan, while the beat is still rolling, look, I want you to sing the melody hook like that you were gonna die tomorrow.
Yeah, how rain comes down on your umbrella. Every drop makes you me. I'm your guy. Yo. All right.
It's very unsettling to me that an 18-year-old kid can come up and just go, I wish I was white. And then have me go like, oh, yeah. And then kind of like try to meet him halfway. And then he's like, I'm just fucking with you, bro. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but it kind of threw me because I'm like, well, if we're really living in a post-racial America, then we have a huge problem because then that means that we're... we're not paying attention to certain things that
is the problem that he when he said he wishes he were white he wasn't lying.
No, God, no. I don't want him to be telling the truth when he says that. I'm saying like the idea that it's become a joke that race can become a joke before we address the issues that are tagged race. That's the troubling thing to me as a Gen Xer. That's the troubling thing. I think that behind... I'm getting a little tipsy, so I should not be talking in this area. But let me put a pin in it. I think that race is tied to wealth distribution in an unfortunate way that needs to be paid attention to. And I think that the race as artificial construct, egalitarian, let's all ignore everything that separates us thing, is 50% the solution and 50% part of a shell game as part of a larger system that says, you're racist if you pay attention to anything that separates anybody because it keeps your eyes off of like the walnut that has the pea under it. And I'm too drunk to go further with that. Also too uneducated. I dropped out of my first semester at college, so I don't have anything to back that up. But I always get suspicious of that, and that's the same thing with religion. When you hear me piping up about religion, it's like, and I had like a big Twitter exchange following the David Cross episode, or I thought David Cross is, as Aaron says, David Cross's atheism is truly empowering. Like, he's the kind of guy that's like, he goes, hey, I'm an atheist, nobody else should be. The thing that makes me argue with people who are evangelical about their atheism is this suspicion I have that that the things that we're tending to blame just religion on, which is basically like kind of all bad stuff, like it freaks me out that we can just jump on that. Because I get worried about the real criminals who are inherently not religious people or atheists. They're just capitalists, and they get away with actual crimes. That there's a class system that is tied to this stuff, and that when you say in this country that there's a culture war, and you point at all the dummies that have, you know, they believe so much in God that they think the world was created in 6 days. You're also talking about people who play scratch offs and believe in the horoscopes. You're talking about people who are kind of exploited. You're talking about people who have been convinced by people who are kind of bullying them that their faith should be put in like military and fear of strangers and all this stuff. And it's like, I just worry a little bit about the intelligentsia just like dogpiling on all religion, because I don't think the corner pastor in your neighborhood is like at the top of the conspiracy. So too drunk. My obsession with race and religion and all that stuff is like, I'm always suspicious of like the actual thing in the room, which is like, you know, rich people have more than poor people, and they kind of, we kind of never talk about that. And I don't know if that's because it's boring or if it's because it's like, if they're actually successfully distracting us from talking about it. So how'd your vasectomy go?
Aces.
I hope I didn't get too drunk to play Shadowrun.
Don't get too drunk to play Shadowrun.
No, I don't tell me not
but
to.
But your character, because I've read, Spencer sent me your character sheet. Did you see one of your negative qualities on there?
Alcoholism.
Severe alcoholism.
All right, so it's a big night. We're going to start playing Shadowrun tonight. What is that video? What's the plan for the video? What are you doing?
The experience.
That's the most ironic statement in the world. You're sitting in the room. You paid $10. There's cameras everywhere. The entire thing is being live streamed.
How long has that camera been up?
Like since I started talking about anything that might get me in trouble, is that? what is it like? Are you from out of town and you're like, they won't believe this?
First time I've been able to get to Harmontown, not all the way in the back.
All right, okay. I lashed out at my best friend. I'm sorry. where are you from?
LA.
What part of LA?
Venice,
nice. Do you go to Venice High?
No, because my parents thought I would get shot, so they sent me to Santa Monica High.
Did you get shot?
Didn't get shot.
Your parents were right again. Now, speaking of the kind of anti-capitalist distribution of wealth thing, I think that's kind of built into this whole Shadowrun universe. There's a very kind of...
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's the corporations have taken over, and there's a group of mercenaries who either exploit it or are exploited by it, or...
I believe we are a dragon awakening away from living in the world that that Shadowrun exists in, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's bring out... should we bring them out in one at a time, or just bring them out... Let's bring out my wife, Erin McGathy.
Hello.
Hello.
Kill the baby.
Thank you. Hello.
Oh, yeah, Kill the Baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, star of the new number one Channel 101 show, Kill the Baby.
I'm the baby.
Female lead, I would, yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Unless the baby's a girl.
I think the baby's a boy. Baby's a boy. Thanks for having me. Goodbye.
But you're the baby? I haven't seen it. I'm sorry.
I'm not the baby. This is a Channel 101 show from Alex and Ariel that went first. This last week, and I play the wife to a man who wants to kill our baby.
Okay.
Yeah.
Check it out. All right.
Was this all part of that nationwide insurance campaign that was in the Super Bowl today?
Explain the nationwide thing.
I think I was watching at the drawing room, and the sound was kind of like at pardon me, at 50%, so I couldn't quite hear it. And there was a kid, and he's in a bathtub, but he's sailing the seven seas with his dog, and then he's in the treehouse, and he's got the dog up there, and then he's like a kid, like being like an imagineer of his own fun, and then all of a sudden, there's just a picture of a bathtub that's overflowed, and then a TV that's fallen, like clearly would have crushed anybody beneath it, and it said, most childhood deaths are preventable, and everyone in the bar was like, whoa! Dead baby commercial.
Does the company tell you what's appropriate to put in different rooms in your house?
It says, go to don'tkillyourbaby.com and we'll fucking we'll help you safe up your house from certain disaster, or give us $500 a month and we'll make sure. It's fucking horrible.
It'd be a shame if anything bad should happen to your baby. Hey, you got a good baby.
Your son seems like a nice kid.
Like be ashamed of him.
I don't know. Maybe a flat screen television lands on his head. I don't know. It happens. It happens all the time. Go to don'tkillyourbaby.com. You see terrible statistics about such things that I would hate to see happen to your only son with the high heels and the trash cans.
He wears the,
so joyless.
He wears the high heels and the rag on his head.
Yeah, when the gay son comes out, he clearly the young actor was confused, and they just threw a scarf on him and the things, and they're like, "Come out like you're doing the wrong thing."
So it's a six-year-old actor doing this? Like, it's a little boy doing this?
Yeah,
it's,
like, it's
also incredibly offensive because it means that gay means that you wear high heels and scarves on your head. And
yeah, I dressed up as a kid a lot, and some of that included dressing up in women's clothing, because I had two options, dad's clothes or mom's clothes, and I wore them all.
It sounds like a poll quote from your autobiography. I wore them all.
I do recall coming out, because my parents would have these swanky, like, late 70s dinner parties, and there was, like, fondue, and all the dudes had suits and great mustaches and looked like the Marlboro Man, and the women all had great dresses on and were named Lorraine and shit, and they all
Do you
smoked.
Think there was some key business happening?
Key?
A key party business? Do you think your parents were part of? Was
you know, I've
swinging?
Actually considered that retrospectively, but I don't think so. I don't think it was really that kind of vibe. It was a pretty permissive environment in terms of, but, like, it was not, like... Yeah, it was the 70s. People were groovy, and the guys, like, did their thing, and the women, like, would kibitz and talk and smoke and drink. And but I do remember coming out of my mom's bathroom and, like, took one of her products, like eyeliner or lipstick, and, like, I think I put it on, and I did a big, like, Revlon commercial for everybody.
Here.
Yeah,
like
I would come out and do, because, like, you know, you watch TV and they do commercials, so they would be having this dinner party that my brother and I were not supposed to come out and interrupt because they were being adults and probably swinging, probably fucking, and I would just come out and interrupt it for a little 30-second spots where I would come out and sell you some lipstick that I found.
Like, you would come out and go, like, Revlon makeup.
Yeah, the new Revlon Ultra Color. This is the new thing for the lips.
Was your mom putting the makeup on you, or you?
No, I was just raiding her bathroom and finding things to sell, like to do commercials for.
Got it. All right.
Also, I was auditioning for commercials around that time too, so maybe that was in my head as well. Wow. Did I ever tell you the one about me running into a party with some information that I discovered?
Yeah. We've heard that. The crack weed story. Yeah. All right. let's bring on Game Master Spencer Crittenden.
Game Master. He is the gay master.
Gay master.
Put him in a trash can. He hiles on.
Gay master all day long.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Spencer, what's cooking, man?
Oh, you know, just throwing away children. I don't know, you guys. I'm kind of all run out of juice.
You?
Yeah. It's 9/11. Oh, I didn't even.
It's no, January 1st. The clock says 9/11.
I wasn't even thinking it was 9/11 when I said that, but, like, yeah, this is getting close to my bedtime. It's just, you know, it's no good.
We do this every week, Spencer.
And I usually go to bed at, like, 10 or 9:30 if I can.
Yeah.
Sleep's the best part of the day.
Also, you've been. As far as I know, you've been spending a good part of your waking hours working on Shadowrun for us.
Yeah, I mean, it is. Yeah. I've read the book about four times now, and I still barely understand it.
I reread some of that stuff of multiple times, and I still have only a passing knowledge of
it.
Oh,
I know.
I haven't read it, and I get it.
Yep.
Are our friends...
I'll teach you.
Is Demorge Brown here?
Yeah, he's here.
Oh, okay. Demorge, are you here?
Demorge Brown.
Demorge Brown! Downtown Demorge Brown.
Demorge, do you know Jamal?
I don't know Jamal, but
I
will meet him.
He lives a very sequestered life.
I can reach him through the network. Black people!
There's a special slash, yeah, special...
Jamal's an extra special name because it's a math book name.
It's,
you know what I mean? Everyone's saying what, but when I was in school, in math books where it has pictures of different people, a lot of the African-American kids were named Jamal. Math book name.
It's, Which is why, as a white writer, you can't, if you know a character is African American, you cannot name them Jamal. There's a short list of names that the other white writers will go, nope, send it back. You can't do that, which is funny.
You should tell them that in the world of commercials, because when you audition for commercials, pretty much every script that has a black character in it, it's named Jamal.
I think that's part of the reason, though. I think it's just ebb and flow.
It's a beautiful name,
and you're a beautiful person.
That's why I think it ebbs and flows. I think culture gets a hold of, I think white writers, and they're all white, like they get confident, you know, and the bubble inflates and then it bursts because the ninth Allstate commercial to have a kid named Jamal in it, then somebody starts going like, this is the new Leroy, we can't do this anymore.
When you're creating a black character for a community or another show,
I would never do such a thing.
You would never.
You know, Dan's the first person Hollywood goes to when they're creating a new black character. Yeah. He's a consultant.
Have you ever gone and I want to make this a black sounding name? Like, for instance, I'm unlikely to meet a white Demorge. Demorge sounds like a African.
Well, in the United States
you're not, but in Switzerland you are.
Is that right?
And in Europe you are.
Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah.
There's a whole village full of a family.
No shit?
There's a village of Demorges?
It's a last name. It's a last name. But there's also, I mean, there's a horse, a racing horse right now named Demorge.
Demorge, stop being so racist.
Yes. I in this country now, but, yeah, but outside sounds, of that sphere. Because, I got, yeah.
It's a unique first name, right?
Yeah.
We cast Keith David in this season of Community. So the actor is cast before the character is named. So here's a room full of white writers have to come up with a name for a black man. And so that is a factor for us. Like,
I would like to hear all the pitches that went down.
I bet you would. and also the conversations that we have about it. This is the real world, the ugly, strange, twisted balloon animal world of racial consciousness. You know, it's like white writers going like, well, I don't know what it, well, not that for sure. And one of the things is he's not named Jamal, that's for sure. I just went with I just went all the way. His name is Elroy Potashnik. I was like, I can't. I'm running from this. I'm not doing it.
It's like Giardello, Yaphet Kotto's character in Homicide. It was based on a real story, and the real head of the homicide department was a Sicilian. But when they cast the actors, the actor they liked the most was Yaphet Kotto. So they didn't change the script at all. He was just named Al Giardello. And for the whole series, he walks around when the officers are confused, and he just says, the Sicilians have a saying, and he speaks in Sicilian. And then he says, get out of my office, and he pulls a red table wine out and, you know, starts eating Italian food in front of everybody. Sicilian food.
They just didn't bother to change
it. No, they didn't change it at all. They just made him black Sicilian. Later on, they wanted to bring him a son, bring his personal life into it, and they brought a real black Sicilian. They brought Giancarlo Esposito into play, his son. It just sort of had this crashing of details.
That's great.
Do you guys remember when Dan said, I'll fuck your mama and her infection? Or what was that?
It rhymed with some...
No, I know, but I...
I find these days that when I rap... One of two things happens. Something comes out that's so gross that I stop and go, that's gross. Or it's just stuff that I've already said.
It's like mentally exploring the idea that there is a man somewhere that refers to his wife's vagina as her infection.
See, what that conjured in my mind, it wasn't her vagina. She had some other infection that he was fucking.
Well, that's what I thought at first.
It might have been on her thigh, you know, or her calf, or something.
Or like maybe Adam and Eve. Adam was like, oh, you're so great. I don't know why I'm attracted to you. I am. What is that? Are you sick? It looks like, it could look like a...
It does seem like you're not well, like in a vacuum. If all you knew was men, and then a woman pulled her pants down, you'd be like, "Are you all right?" And vice versa.
Yeah.
If all you saw were women, and then a man, you'd be like, "Whoa."
The first time I saw,
you really have to get
that.
It's
not a controversial statement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I think what you're saying, Dan, is boys have wee-wees and girls have crack-wees.
Well, it's similar to axe wound, which is such a gross. Which is a terrible thing to say. I'm only laughing because there are
900 words for a vagina, and none of them are pleasant, really. I mean, there's a couple that are passable, but mostly just no.
Paloma.
No, you just ruined that name.
You call her pussy Paloma?
That's our name for our unborn daughter. That is not start.
he just called your pussy your Paloma, I believe.
I mean, we'll just change it. Her name just won't be Paloma. Dan and I have talks about naming a daughter Paloma. Paloma.
That was
pull
a ghost.
It together. All right, sorry, Spencer.
Hey, guys.
When you say your unborn daughter, have you conceived? Are you trying to actively right now? What's going on?
No. I'm giggling because you're the first person who's asked. No, we are not actively trying to... What a weird question. I don't know.
Are you trying to make a baby? You said that.
No.
I'm sorry for being too personal. That's way too personal. I'm sorry. I don't need to press you.
I'm coming on her tits a lot. Is that?
Which brings us back to cock ring story.
But I'm sopping it up with a paper towel and doing what I call stuffing the tunnel.
Isn't that? We read somewhere.
It's a great way to get an infection. I know that.
We call it demorging.
What?
That wasn't fair.
I'm just here, man. I'm just here.
We're waiting until June 1st. We're going to start conceiving.
We've decided we want our child's birthday to be a very specific date. And then, so we're just going to cast a wide net and take advantage of our God-given right to abortion.
We're not Republicans,
for God's sake.
Was there a misunderstanding?
I want my kid to be born on April 15th. Because I want to be able to remember, like, my taxes are due, and also...
It'll be our first child, but our fifth pregnancy. I mean, you guys, those of you who have come to the show live, like, this glow is not unpregnant. look at me. I'm beaming. Oh, what if we can't have kids?
I mean, if anybody can't, it's got to be me, right? Don't I just seem sterile? I feel sterile.
Oh, God. What's
true? I just feel like I feel so sterile.
Is that really? your way of just talking yourself out of ever having to wear a condom? Is like, oh, baby, I'd never get you pregnant. I'm sterile as
no,
shit.
No, I've never used that as an excuse in the past. I'm married now. I'm just saying, like, now... Yeah, no, it just doesn't seem like I when I look at myself in the mirror, I don't go, ah, potency. I go like, Paul Giamatti. You don't picture him like, firing off like a million Giamattis. Like, you think in order to make a new Paul Giamatti, you'd have to like catch one and distill it and like... help it, put wheels on the back, on its tail. Put it on a sperm track to an egg that's like in braces. We made a new Giamatti. It wasn't easy. The park is open. I don't know what kind of new Giamatti you're making in there. It doesn't sound like a good idea.
Don't you see what you're doing, Giamatti? You're tampering with nature.
Spent so much time thinking whether you could make another Paul Giamatti. You
didn't stop. That is one big pile of Giamatti shit. I think it's time to start getting into our shadow run for this evening.
Fucking A, man. Yeah. That's why I brought him out early, see?
You brought me on at the normal time.
Well, I brought you out earlier, but then we talked, and you know how we usually bring you out?
It's normal, the normal time. Normal time you bring me
out. It's my fault, I understand.
There's nothing wrong with it. Just call them like you see it.
Well, I listened to the show last week, and I heard all of your awesome characters I'm very excited about, and so I should probably start off by revealing my character, correct?
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah,
is that good? Is that all right, Spencer?
Yeah, that's fine, because our characters all know each other, so we're not going to be meeting each other.
No.
We're going to be beginning on, as I understand it, we're going to be beginning already having known each other.
Yeah, you're like a team of shadow runners.
I love it.
There you go. I'm so excited. We're going to really try to do it right. And I'm sorry I got but not too drunk. Got a little too drunk. But I mean not too drunk.
All right, well, my character's name is Eve. Yes, Eve was born. You know, I'm gonna
do you play a little Vangelis? Or
funny you should say that. I think I have a song for my thing. If I were here last week, I would have done music.
Oh, by the way, last week I never said like Yacht was the name of the band, right, Dustin? Like Yacht, who's actually. I mean, they don't need to give their music away.
Oh,
they
it's just, a great band.
Yeah.
Who did I play tonight, Dustin? The song called "My Kind of Devil." Do we know? It's not on here, but we'll find it out. We'll put it on the thing. But thank you, whoever wrote that. I like that song. Okay, so here we go with Eve. Let's see what we got here.
If you like any music you hear in the show, go find out who made it. Jamal has a mix of all of the music tonight at blackfire.org.
Pardon me. Eve was born the daughter of two loving middle-class elf shamans. Before her birth, her parents ran a successful chain of alchemy stores in Seattle, but they were squeezed out of business by Big Alchemy. And with a baby on the way, they chose, very reluctantly, to work for the megacorporation Neonet. In exchange for big pay, they became nothing more than corporate mage slaves, selling their magic. That's in the book. Selling their magic and prostituting their sacred shamanic tradition, helping Neonet enhance their security and exploit the world. When their daughter, Evduriel, was born, they were determined to protect her from their own sad fate. Before she could be given a system ID number and be absorbed by the state, they took their newborn daughter and left her to be raised by sinless elf magicians who lived in the woods around Seattle in mystic harmony with the Native American shamans of the Salish tribe. There, between her new elven and Native American family, she grew to learn and control her own powerful magic and to connect with the great spirits of Mother Earth. At 13 years old, however, her peaceful life was shattered when her community was raided by awakened cops on astral patrol for illegal gatherings of magicians. Many of her people were slaughtered or arrested. Some, like Evduriel, managed to escape, alone and terrified and burning with hatred for the violent power of the megacorps that destroyed her life and the lives of parents she'd never known. Evduriel vowed to use her magic however she could to undermine the powerful and return this world to its natural state of harmony with Earth's great spirit, and maybe see her family again. But not done. Before fleeing the woods to hide in the bustling anonymity of the city sprawl, she called upon the spirit world for guidance. Her buried anger and stormy personality led her to take on the powerful mentor spirit of the Thunderbird, whose beak and claws are lightning, and her cries, the clap of thunder! The Thunderbird spirit now guides her to use her power for good and to destroy those who would oppose the spirits of the natural world. Armed with her magic, a cat-like agility, and an old Comanche war club, she learned to survive on the streets as a shadow runner. She is now 20 years old, and she runs by the name of Eve Libertine.
All right. It is such a shame that there wasn't a... There should have been someone doing an interpretive dance during that.
I want you guys to do that over again, but remember when your mother got shot.
All right. So everyone knows everyone... Right, you're all ready.
I know Mercy, I know Eve, and I want to recount. What's your character's name tomorrow?
Hordegard.
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 Okay, Hordegard. The most amazing character ever. Yeah, I snorted. Deal with it. Hashtag yes, all snorters.
Oh, wow. Timely.
Yes, all snorters.
All right. Okay.
Oh, wait. I have new theme music for Spencer's new intro to Shadowrun.
The thing is, I'm not sure if there's like a proper intro to this because it's, you know, because those were all kind of like recaps,
right.
But there's nothing to recap.
Okay,
so.
Then we'll save that for next time.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I don't know, you guys. Okay. So you're all Shadowrunners. You're on a Shadowrunning team. We all know this.
Now,
okay.
Come on. There's got to be music during this. I mean, what are you...
What?
All right.
Maybe
okay,
maybe just an intro.
Why do you guys care? What is your investment in this music?
Because it makes it special.
We like it.
I mean, it'd be special if I got to say the things that I wrote. I mean, that's special to me. Wow. All this hubbub isn't doing it. I don't know.
When did you stop believing in magic?
I don't get it.
We'll save the music for next time. That'll be extra special for our recap, kind of a la the old days. And right now, we'll just go in dry.
Makes sense to me, Jeff.
All right. All right.
Shadowrunners, Shadowrunning team, gotcha. All right. You all pile out of your Uber before the car scoots away, leaving you standing in the shade of the rotting wooden facade of a dive bar, Hank's last stand. You've all received the same message from your fixer, Cool Dennis. The message is as follows. Listen, guys, I done something bad. I gotta lay low for a while. But look, I know you need to pay rent, same as always, so I'm putting you in touch with Teddy. He was my fixer before I got my start fixing. He's your man. He'll be picking up all of my slack while I'm gone, and I'll be making a nice little kickback for myself for every job you guys complete. So don't be afraid to get your hands dirty. Anyway, trust me, I'll be back on my feet in a few months. Don't you fret. Head to Hank's last stand. Got me? Teddy's the new Cool Dennis. Stand. So there you are, in front of the dive bar, and out through the double doors bursts a squat and strange figure. It's Teddy. He's wearing an unbuttoned Hawaiian shirt, white shorts, and flip-flops. A stun baton hangs from his belt. Oh yeah, and he's a dwarf. Howdy, I'm Teddy. It's great to finally meet you lot. You see, Cool Dennis told me all about you. Now, I'm sure you have a lot of questions, and I respect that, but right now I've actually got a Johnson on the Rhine who needs a run soon, as in, like, right now. So why don't we go inside and see what he needs? Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right.
A Johnson is street talk for a corporate client.
Yes.
All right, Jim, stop wasting our fragging time. Let's go inside.
Inside, the moldy bar is empty, but for a tired old cowboy of a bartender sat in a corner idly watching sports on a big screen TV. But then Teddy calls out, Hank, if you wouldn't mind. The old man nods and flips the game over to AR speak, and he shuffles out of the back room. Teddy touches a button on his comlink. That's a cell phone. And the big screen TV flashes as a shadowy businessman persona appears on screen. Teddy's all like, now, if you'll forgive me, Mr. Johnson, me and the crew were just catching up on old times. They're old standbys, the best new upstarts in the shadows. Isn't that right? He points to Mercy. Isn't that right? Gestures you to
Mercy. That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
You're standing facing this shadowy figure on a big screen television.
Talk to me.
All right. I'll talk like this because I can't emulate like a computer voice thing like in, you know, the news when you're trying to hide your voice. That's what this guy sounds like, okay? Right.
Can we do that in post for the podcast?
Shit, for future episodes, do we have that effect in board?
I could like get an app for it or something. I don't know. I'll figure it out.
That'll be fun.
Never mind.
You thought you could just...
Yeah, I did, and it didn't come out the way I thought.
I'd be willing to hear more of that voice.
It's like dying frog.
Mr. Johnson, you were saying?
All right. My employers have taken a keen interest in better-than-life chips, that's BTLs. These data chips contain experiences beyond normal experience. They inspire emotions impossible in normal brains and even out the rough edges. Better than life. Lately, experimental chips have been leaking out of the Redmond Barrens. Crazy chips, stronger than ever. We've heard rumors that these chips don't have side effects or addiction. Just rumors, though. We got a positive ID on an expert software engineer by the name of Baldwin Brown, sighted in and around an abandoned warehouse that's been beefing up security lately. Head down there and capture Brown. Alive. I want to know what he knows. Scoop up all the BTLs you come across and I'll bring them back. I'll meet you at the drop zone with a payment. After the fixer fee, I can offer $5,000 each. I'll throw in an extra $1,000 if you guys want to bring me back crates of BTLs.
Sounds good. How about you throw in an extra $1,500?
All right, let me do this. I'm rolling dice now.
How's your family?
Oh, it's good.
What
your
if,
face.
What was the amount that you said?
$1,500.
Nope.
All right. We will keep that in mind with our timing.
Mercy. What does Baldwin Brown do again? Who is he?
He's an expert software engineer.
Ah. Thanks, Mercy.
So what do you guys say? $5,000 apiece.
I don't trust him. But I'll do it because I need the money.
I tried to negotiate the bonus. Can I? I really think that this job sounds a little more dangerous than $5,000. What's the currency?
New yen.
Okay. How about 6,000 yen?
Well, that sounds a lot. That sounds a lot more agreeable. 6,000 it is.
All right.
Nice, Mercy. You got a great face.
I would also like to go on this mission.
Hey, Nightblade. You're not fucked up again, are you? Just once, I'd like to go on a mission with you where you're not totally blasted on cyber booze. You're kettle trons and whatnot. It's our neck we're risking out there, Nightblade.
No, I need the money and...
you don't look so good is what I'm trying to tell you. Were you paying attention at all? Repeat back to me what Mr. Johnson just asked us to do.
We were supposed to go get Bradley Whitford from the...
Baldwin Brown.
Baldwin Brown. He's been seen in a warehouse. We're going to secure him. He's an engineer from this place that makes these BTL chips. We're gonna grab him and any BTL chips we can. But she called the currency Nyung Nyung. And that's why I'm laughing.
Okay. All right.
Because it sounds like a cat food.
What is it?
New yen.
I don't. Nobody tell her.
All right, Hordegard, what do you say?
I have a feeling that this is something that we could do quite easily, but we should go quickly because he is deteriorating. This one on the right. And we will need his. And we will need. Yes.
He's talking to you, Nightblade. Quickly.
You got drips of cyber kettle
and
on here.
We will need his attributes in the approach.
Yeah. You don't have to be a precog to see this guy's fucked up.
All right. So you guys have to worry about me, all right?
So someone go on their comlink and find out how far away the Redmond Barrens are.
Not far. Just an Uber right away.
Shall we hop in an Uber?
Sure.
Sure, who calls him?
The fixer, perhaps. Will he do this?
There's an app for that.
I open up the Uber app in my brain. The future.
Just on your cell phone, on the comlink.
Okay. I open up the Uber app and I request an Uber.
And an Uber arrives post haste.
Our Uber's here.
I get in.
We exit the last stand. What's it called?
Hank's last stand.
Yeah.
All right, give him Uber.
All right.
Give me all your gum.
Wait, what?
Excuse me?
I'm saying that to the Uber driver.
There is no Uber driver.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
I see. All right. Sorry. I say that and then I laugh and I'm like, oh, it's a dream I had. Sometimes I play out the dreams that I have.
What's the plan when we get in on you guys? What's the plan of attack?
Yeah, you might want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got to figure this out. Okay. So there's this warehouse. This guy's holed up in it. And we want to just nab him. We don't want to kill him.
Have it drop us off on a side street, first of all. We are shadow runners. We should come out in the shadow.
Of course.
Yeah. Absolutely. When we get there, and sidebar table talk, this is my first time playing a magic user, so there's going to be a learning curve for me on this one. I've read a lot. I'll try to astrally perceive or to astrally project when we get there to go inside the warehouse to see what's going on.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Should we nab him, or we're just getting something from him?
We're going to nab him and as many BTL chips as we can get our hands on.
He's the package. For the Johnson.
Right.
I have extraordinary physical stealth skills.
I'm very stealthy as well and agile.
Yeah.
All right.
I can make myself invisible and levitate and shit like that.
I'm not as familiar with Hordekai's skill set.
Hordegard.
Like
I have several items at my disposal. I will keep them to myself. It is a private inventory.
Yeah.
But you should know my reputation obviously precedes myself. Or I would not be part of the team.
No, of course. No,
Certain precognition skills. I also have presets that allow me to enhance my physical abilities and mental abilities.
Can you?
And I can probe minds if we get one and settle somebody down and need to know what's happening.
Oh, that's great. Yes.
Can you precog what's going on inside that warehouse right now? Can you foresee the?
I can use general perception, but precogging requires me to retire somewhere and to find a good sound system.
All right.
Okay. All right. If this is going to be all muscle and agility, I'll stand outside and.
We look at a map of the city.
Okay.
We're in Seattle?
Yep.
And we look at where this warehouse is.
All right.
And then we pick a spot that looks like we could get maybe a good vantage point physically, like, you know, safe, totally safe, not trying to...
I have a no-soft for the city of Seattle in my mind. I can look at the building and also its sort of physical plant and know certain points of entry.
All Any right. adjacent
Pass that
buildings?
To DeMarsh. Here's a map.
Okay, yeah.
To DeMarsh.
I love that you're that excited. It's awesome.
He has the map. You don't have the map.
We got a whole... Okay, so...
I'm sensing that the map is stuck in translation. Could I please maybe get it to myself?
I'm looking at the map. Yeah. Hold on.
It's not yours to have. I'll have them up for download after the show.
Okay, all right. All right. It's the compound is.
I don't think we're supposed to see it. It's not for us.
DeMarsh is supposed to see it. Not you.
Sorry.
It's fine. He can share, but afterwards.
If you could read my mind, what a tale my heart would tell.
There's a warehouse surrounded by a large fence. The whole area is in the barrens. It's just this destroyed, devastated area. There's all sorts of squat shells of buildings. You can kind of hide out and scope out the place if you wish. And that's where the Uber kind of drops you off. It's just in an alleyway, kind of about 600 feet off.
What time of day is it?
It's about 6 p.m. It's getting dark.
Okay.
Shadows are coming out.
Don't worry. You know, us elves in our low-light vision.
Sure.
I have cyber eyes.
So from your vantage point, you can see the low-roofed warehouse. It's on a big hunk of land fenced off by a 10-foot tall fence topped with knife wire. You see shattered, burnt-out buildings all over the place surrounding the lot. And through the fence, you see the warehouse with a loading dock for trucks. The only entrance you can see on the compound is on the south side. There's a big gate controlled by a small gatehouse. Far from state-of-the-art security, the fence looks old, and you only see three armed guards manning the gate with submachine guns. One bulky security camera on the fence surveys the road leading up to the gate.
Someone's gonna take out that. Somebody needs to take out that camera.
Well, first, let's talk about these fences.
Yeah,
the ones that don't have a gate on them. What keeps one from getting in? What are they?
Linked chains. It's a chain link fence.
And they're high and they have...
They're 10 feet tall, topped with knife wire.
Knife wire.
Yep. That's a real thing.
Yeah. BFD. To a guy like me.
Can I go up to the fence without being seen?
Which fence?
Not the one by the guards, but like farther away from them.
Yeah, probably.
I go up there to check it out to see, stealthily sneak up to see if there's any sensors, like a wire is connected to it, if it's electrified or anything.
What's
like
your agility plus sneaking? Quick.
God, don't make me rush. Agility is 4, and my sneaking is 6.
All right. You do it without being seen.
Fuck yeah.
You're up on a fence. You're right by the knife wires.
I tried to use perception on the fence and see what's going on. If it looks like there's any hidden sensors or things that might trip.
You don't see any sensors. It's pretty rusted and old, actually.
All right. I go back to the group and relay that information.
Hey, listen, don't run up to shit like that without us making a plan.
You don't own me, Nightblade. I lived alone in this town for 4 years.
I'm a man without a past.
All right, look, we know that the two of you have this will they, won't they bullshit. Let's cool it for a second and focus on the task at hand.
We gotta work as a team, you know.
Cool it, Nightblade.
Cool it, Nightblade. I'm telling her to cool it.
I take the note.
All right. So I'm wondering, you know, I got a nano whip in my fingertip compartment.
Well, we all know.
Yeah, that's the first time we've heard this story.
I'm not bragging, but I might be able to cut through the chain link. I'm not sure. Do I know from experience if chain link is something that would thwart my nano whip?
No, you know it would not do that, in fact.
I know it wouldn't thwart it.
Yes, in fact, your nano whip would thwart the chain link.
Like a knife through butter.
Yep.
Like a knife through butter. So we could go in. I mean, we could frag the three skis balls at the front gate.
I say it's better to go in clean to the side.
Yeah. I would suggest perhaps that we align ourselves directly in front of the security gate at a certain distance. That we first toss into the compound, the security compound, a smoke bomb, thus perhaps driving them out, and perhaps each pick a target and shoot with each of the three guards.
Let's listen to the Nazi doctor.
I'm worried that the smoke bomb will draw out all of the people inside as well.
The security guards.
Yeah, there's only three.
Only three. But if we are each aligned, we each take one shot.
Right, but I think that beyond those three, there's more... You know, in there, and if we the smoke bombs, that's gonna say, hey, everybody inside the compound, let's have all of you come out the front and deal
with
it.
But they're inside.
Perhaps we can
security guards on the outside of the
gate.
Can
we create a diversion? Maybe I walk in. I'm wearing Actioneer business clothes, and we all know I have this face. Maybe I talk to the guards while you come in through the side.
That's good. We got going in through the back door. We got smoke bomb weird okay. Atari 2600 take all comers at the front door. We got
I have improved invisibility where I'm invisible to guards and sensors.
Well, let's have Eve do that then.
Yeah. Like walk through the front door?
Let's do that. But if we take that choice, then I would choose then to use a silent. I have a silent gun, a gun with a silencer, and I would use that.
Well, yeah, that's a good move.
I call him a mentor spirit, Spencer the Thunderbird, for guidance on this.
Thunderbird's like, you should check it out first.
That's what I've been saying, Thunderbird.
Caw-caw.
That's what I've been saying.
All right, is everybody? We're all able to be in constant contact with each other. Do we?
You have your comm links and micro transceivers.
All right,
so
everybody,
like
test your transceivers.
Check.
Can you hear me? Got me.
Check one.
Wonderful to feel like I am part of a team. I'm enjoying
good blood.
Feeling part of a team. I am enjoying it quite a bit. This is great.
Okay, good. So that means we can split up and. I'm gonna nano whip through the back door, as it were, and I'm gonna anybody I see I'm gonna take them out with stealth. I think we should have an emergency code that we have in case the shit hits the fan, in which case we all run, or.
Yeah, we can't just run out and call an Uber,
right?
The spot that we're in right
I
now.
I say
is...
here's what I say. I say Nightblade, you go in, nano whip that fence. Go in, see what you got. And we need two people to cover the front gate. So if anything goes weird with the guards there, we'll take them out.
That's true. That's their only way out. That's how we should be looking at this. These guys are pigs in a pen.
What? Wait. What is that? So you're saying that the two people on the outside need to be on the outside because that's their only way out, and we're going to execute the people that are leaving?
No, I'm saying like we're going in there to get a guy. Like the front gate is not important for us to get in, but it is important for us to keep an eye on in case the guy we're trying to get tries to get out.
I see. Okay, I can stand at the front gate. I can't do much physically. Aside from having a great face, so I'll do that. I just that sounds fine. I don't want to.
When the rest of the group settles on the plan, I am fully equipped to do whatever the task is assigned to me.
Nightblade, you want to go try to get in? Keep us posted on the comlinks, and if there's trouble, we come charging in after you. If not, we'll see what we see, and then we'll take it from there.
All right.
Sound good?
I'm going to go in.
All right.
Okay. I'm going to nano whip the fence.
All right, so there's multiple sides. It's like a rectangle of a fence, so north, east, south, or west.
I want to go in the west side.
All right. Which side? Okay.
Just so you know, just in the middle of that fence, once you get over, there are crates. If you need to scale them, you could perhaps arrange them to get to the top of the warehouse.
Well, that might make a good visual cover for the hole I cut in it. It's good.
Do it as you like.
Look for these crates you information. That he's talking about. Where are these crates?
You find the crates. On this side of the fence, you're actually pretty close to the warehouse itself. There's only kind of a narrow 5 or 6 feet space, and it's kind of packed with crates, so... Mm. Yeah.
I like that. Sounds like a good cover.
Using the visual cover of the crate, I nano whip a man sized hole in the chain link.
You do that successfully. You neatly. Twice. A man sized hole.
With that, we are officially shadow running.
I'm sorry, that was in the wrong hand. My nano whip is in a fingertip compartment on my human arm. Right. My bionic arm is the other arm.
Okay.
All right, you're inside. You're right next to this warehouse. The property is big and deserted. It's the perfect spot for secret research. You can see an old rusted storage container on the far side of the yard, and trash litters the ground. You're also right next to a shooting range with targets and bullets and stuff.
I'm going to... What's the nearest structure from these crates?
You're right next to the warehouse, but you're not next to a door. You don't see any doors on the side of the building you're on.
How far physically are we away from the guards at the front gate?
I mean, about 250 feet if you're kind of near where he is.
Okay.
Do I see a way to... Well, it doesn't matter. I'm Jim Nightblade.
I want to go to the warehouse and use my grappling gun to get to the roof.
All right, you do that.
Guys, he's going in alone. I'm going to go in with him.
All right, be careful.
If you follow him, please be careful. If you go to the south on the outside, there is a bit of a sinkhole, and you might, as it gets darker, be prone to falling in, so please be careful.
How do you know all this? A perception on this?
I have the City of Seattle map in my mind is one of my no-softs.
Oh, awesome.
So I am
okay.
Looking...
That's very good. Thank you,
Hordegard, where's the best place for me to stand if I'm standing in a position to talk to somebody?
If by somebody talking about guards or people who would inquire, the gate is on the south side in the middle. The road that leads to the front gate is the only way out and the only way in. And this inside leads to the loading dock.
Okay.
The gatehouse is next to that. It's a sentry unit, and it is separate, of course, from the gate, just a sentry house with three guards inside.
Okay, I'm going to walk around in front of that. You're saying the front gate
is the best place? It would appear to be a front gate, but it's on the south side.
Okay, I'm going to walk around there with my... I'm sorry, what is it? A Selby? What is the cell phone?
Comlink,
sorry.
almost had it.
I'm going to have my comlink up and make it look like I'm standing there like waiting for somebody to pick me up. So I will be in disguise.
All right. As you approach, you're still a good 40 yards off, and the guards turn and aim their submachine guns at you and start yelling, "Hey, get back, get back, get back, get back, get back."
Oh, gentlemen, I'm sorry.
Get back.
I turn my face towards the angry gentleman. Boys will be boys. I'm so sorry. My son is being brought here to me. Oh God, screwed it up. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I'm just a lady, a little lost. And I will. I'll back away. But is it okay if I just stand kind of here? Because this is where I've told my son's father to meet me. We're no longer together. What a bastard.
I know how that goes.
No way. You don't know how that goes. You're too handsome to ever be alone.
I think that most of the time.
I don't want to be forward, but with your beard and your looks, you look like a lumbersexual.
Oh, I'm clean shaven. Clean shaven.
That's right. All right, well, sir, if you don't mind me standing here with my phone and occasionally looking over at you and fantasizing, then I think we're good.
Well, that sounds mighty fine.
All right.
Nightblade, what do you see in there?
You're on a roof.
I'm on a roof. Are there windows on the outside of the structure?
No, it's a windowless building.
All right. I climb the rope up there with him.
All right. Oof. You climb up, but you slip and fall on your face right at the top.
Am I on the roof?
Yeah.
Am I hurt?
Nope.
Okay.
You just made a noise.
Oops, sorry.
I used my grappling gun.
Well, you were already... Wait, how?
No, I mean, I'm just explaining to her. I used my grappling gun.
So. Right.
I examine the rooftop for any sort of skylights or any sort of ingress.
You don't see any skylights, but you do see... It just looks like a... What do you call it? Like a grate? Yeah, just a grill, like a grate. It's screwed on tight. Mm.
All right. See that grill?
Yeah.
Let's get a closer look.
It's just a grill. It's Phillips head screws bolted.
You know what that looks like to my nano whip?
More butter?
Looks like we will be conceiving tonight.
Looks like butter. I mean, I don't have any tools for screws. Do I have, like, a screwdriver?
I don't know. I don't think so. It'd probably say something like
that.
Do
you have a screwdriver?
I don't have a screwdriver.
If you're out there and you're listening, you can proceed north on top of the building. There is some sort of loading dock there.
Yeah.
And if you can drop down there, you can find ingress or egress, perhaps, if you're inside. But you would find ingress.
Okay, let's not get caught up on that.
But I'm just saying.
All right.
The structure is there, perhaps an easier one, but perhaps also one that is guarded.
All right, Nightblade, let's sneak to the north side of the building. Go to that loading dock.
What about the grate?
We don't have the tools, man.
I got a nano whip.
Look, Nightblade.
Can I use my combat sense to see what troubles might befall them?
Yeah.
Is that something?
They're not in any, you can sense that they're not in any immediate danger at the moment.
I sense that you are not in any immediate danger, but don't hold me to that.
If you want to nano whip that, great. I'm not going to stand in your way.
That's what she said. Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Okay. We talked about harassment on the runs.
Let me just take a peek. I nano whip the grate.
All right. Yep, you nano whip the grate.
Wrong finger.
You slice a hole in it, and it's kind of like a can where it's hanging by like a little thread, you know?
Nice. How's the size?
It's man-sized.
I got a man-sized grate.
Why don't you take a peek and take a little gander down there, Nightblade?
I start going in the grate.
Wait, you do what?
I go in.
Oh, you go in. Well, it's just kind of like a hole in the ceiling. If you go in, you'd just be kind of like dropping through a hole. Is that what you do?
Oh, you mean like down below is the warehouse itself?
Yeah.
Oh, then let me look and get a lay of the land.
You do that. You see a card table with two guys playing cards and drinking alcohol. They're not seeming to pay much attention. They got their pistols on the table.
I got
you
two bogeys.
You also see two semi-trucks and crates all over the place and a forklift in one corner.
Two bogeys playing cards. That's all I got in here.
Hordegard, what do you see down there? Anything else that we need to know about? Or our own vision good enough there, Spencer?
What?
To see around inside the warehouse.
You see the things I said. There's nothing else to see.
So can I use my grappling gun to descend like Spider-Man?
Well, you can hook it on something and then climb down on the rope, like tying a rope to a fixed object.
How far away are they from us?
40 feet.
And how far? It's 40 feet down?
No, I mean it's diagonal.
Okay, so it's 20 feet or so down?
Yep.
Okay.
So I could affix my grapple to the roof here and then descend with my grappling gun.
Yes.
I'm gonna give it a shot.
All right.
I'll be right behind you if you need me, Nightblade.
All right.
What's your agility plus sneaking?
Get ready for go time. I'd like this to be a black bag job, but it might be Frackapalooza. My agility is... But it's me, Dan. My agility is 5, and my... What was the other thing?
Sneaking.
Sneaking is... 4, and then it says parentheses plus 4.
Okay.
That's sneaky.
All right. You descend unseen or heard. You're right above the floor. You can touch the floor if you want.
Okay. I'll wait till you're off the thing before I descend after you.
I touch it. I leave my grapple so that my friend can come down too.
You do that quietly.
I descend as well.
That happens.
Okay. They don't see us?
They don't. They're not paying close attention apparently.
What do you think? I can stun these guys and knock them out with a stun bolt from a distance if you want.
Let's check in with the team. Come on, chuckleheads, talk to me.
Sounds good.
Once again, if I could tap into combat sense to see what sort of risk they are in.
They might be in danger if they screw up. They're in more immediate danger than they were before.
Can we pull up an image of this guy, of this Baldwin character we're looking for? Is there a photo online of this guy that we can see so if we know we're looking at the right guy?
Yeah, you do that. He looks like an aging bald man with glasses.
Does he look like one of those guys playing cards there?
No, these are young dudes. There's a 20 year old orc and then a 20 ish year old human.
And what kind of non lethal?
I got loads of. I can knock him out with a stun bolt if you like.
Both of them?
Yeah, it's an area spell.
Stun okay. bolt is not an
no
area
no no
spell.
So, yeah, stun ball. I mean,
there you go.
Stun ball. All right. You think you can take two of them out with a stun ball?
I mean, let's not waste my spells if we don't have to. It drains a magician to use that stuff. I mean, do you think we do that right away?
I think it's worth it to try as hard as we can to go non-lethal. And I mean, we only see these two people. Let's try to stun ball them.
All right. You sure?
Hold on. I'm getting a sim sense.
Do you boys need help in there? I have... stealth. I can maybe help you out if you need some backup.
Aren't you at the front gate just flirting?
I don't like it when you degrade what I do, but yes, that is what I am doing.
Well, stay there, keep them occupied.
Nightblade, I also have an X-Shocker taser gun, but it's only a single shot thing, so I can't get them both.
Well, I just if your stun ball is a ranged thing that could stun two people.
Okay,
that's perfect for
right.
these poker players.
I cast a I harness first of all my combat spell casting. I touch my red feather earring, and summon the spell casting focus to increase my combat, and I throw a force 3 stun ball at the guards.
All right.
The guys are able.
What's your spell casting plus magic?
11.
11, huh?
But do I get a plus 2 for the spell casting? Or is that added?
Yeah, so that'd be 13 altogether.
13.
Aaron asking, do you have just one earring?
Oh, close.
Yes.
Which ear is it in?
It's my left ear.
Thank you.
Right?
Yeah. Meansy parties.
So you fire off a stun ball.
What did I do?
It lands right in the middle of them and it hits them. They attempt to twist out of the way and they take a lesser effect and they end up taking some damage. Hold on.
There better be an app with all of Jeff's different magic noises in a few months. There better be.
She buried the lead on that spell.
it's a mana stun ball I'm shooting. It takes a lot out of you.
One of them goes down to the ground cold, and the other one seems to have dodged out of the way.
Rush him, Nightblade.
If it's my turn, I'll use my silence-equipped Ares Predator 5 that's in my bionic arm.
All right. You got the surprise on him. So what's your pistols plus agility?
I'm assuming, like, I'm not close enough to him to do anything non-lethal. Like, I have a stun baton, and I mean, that's about it. Like,
so what's your agility plus pistols?
Well, you're making me kill this guy.
Well, you said you were firing at him with your gun, right?
Well, I just want to make sure before I do that, I wasn't close enough to him to stun baton him, right?
No.
You have the element of surprise.
I'm not.
Well,
okay.
Not anymore. Now the stun ball's in play.
Adam, don't heckle the GM.
Save the guard's life.
Okay, so you need to
Adam's
know
Adam's real
my,
born on the 4th of July right now.
I mean, shit's gone bad. It's the first act of heat. No, shit's gone bad.
The cat's out of the bag. I've got a stun ball.
I'll sleep like a baby tonight. Okay, so you're looking for... Sorry, one more time. I'm a little drunk.
Agility plus pistols.
Agility is 5, and pistols is 2, parentheses plus 2. Okay. Is there shorthand for when those numbers when it's 2?
You could just... well, if it's plus 2, then just add them all up. So 5 plus 2 plus 2 would be 9.
Okay, great.
Cool. Ooh. Yeah, you plug him right in the face.
So,
Wow, a little bit overkill, huh, Nightblade?
That's batting cleanup.
Yeah. He gets shot in the face and goes down.
Every time you fuck up casting the spell, that's what it looks like. There's a human cost.
Noted. I go up there and secure their weapons. In case
all right. You take two Ingram smart guns.
I'm hyper-vigilant. I'm in a fucking PTSD fucking 360. My heart's beating.
You see no one. Outside, Mercy and Hortigard hear the report of a pistol.
Silencer.
Oh, then they don't.
No.
That means I sense that something has gone down and I'm checking in. Do you see crates?
Yeah, there's crates everywhere in here.
In the building.
This place is lousy with crates.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't see anyone else in the room that you're in.
Are there any doors that we see along the walls?
There's a door to the east that's leading presumably out of the building. There's a door to the south.
We should check these trucks.
Okay.
I mean, I will.
You go ahead. I'm going to go up. So there's one door that's presumably leaving at the like the loading dock or whatever.
Yeah.
And then the other one looks like it might be an interior room.
Yep.
I go to that door and take out my endoscope and put it under the door to take a look around.
You do that. You see three large machines that look like they're producing something. You don't know quite what from your low angle. You also see a concrete barrier that blocks your vision towards the right. It's kind of the only things you can see are those two things. Machines and a barrier.
Okay. I report that over to Nightblade. What's in those trucks?
I'll go check these trucks.
They're full of crates. The crates are sealed shut.
Boxes and boxes. What was it Nabokov said? Package is just a... package for a... package.
I got a door over here at Nightblade that I can't see the whole situation in here. I say we come in there guns a-blazing. I load my gun with stick and shock bullets.
You do that.
Well, hold on. So the chicky peas out front. Talking to these three guys. If we take out those three guys, then she can come in. It's like we got the whole yard covered, right? We can all, like, maybe we should take those guys out at the south gate.
Well, can I try just talking to them, see what happens?
Yeah,
see if I can get in.
Okay,
then I will choose to.
Yeah.
I will choose to approach as cover.
Keep their attention.
You see if you can get all three of them to be talking to you, all facing you at the same time. None of them facing north.
All right, I position myself south. Oh, please. I'm so sad. Oh, I just got the worst news. I'm so sad. I'm so weak.
The clean-shaven guy comes over towards you and is like, why are you weak?
Oh, I, my son that I was meant to meet here, I guess he was killed by one of those dirty shadow runners. Some shadow runner was on a run and my son was standing in the way and... I'm so sorry to ask this, but I've been going to this cyber therapy where my cyber therapist told me that the only thing that could calm me down was three men, one with two hands on my head and the other two with two hands on either arm, and I this is so embarrassing, but if you could please just touch me. Please.
He touches you.
Can you ask your friends to also touch me? And
yeah.
Just listen to me?
I guess I can do that.
Thank you. I'm so sorry. This is so embarrassing.
I am some distance away, but I am holding my rifle poised, and I am looking for an open shot.
should an opportunity present itself.
Okay, yeah, there's some shots open.
Do I see the... I want to leave the warehouse through the... is there... If I go towards the south, is that where the south gate is?
No, if you go towards the south, that's towards the door that he's peeking through.
But that'll put us out towards the gate, right?
No, that's an interior door.
Oh.
I'm looking to go toward Aaron.
All right.
Mercy.
You came in through the ceiling.
Right.
Are there... Where we are there any... Like,
south gate is to the south, right?
Are there any businesses
near... Yeah, but it's
near,
outside.
Are there any businesses that we saw on the way over here in the Uber?
No, they're all destroyed. They're just like destroyed, bombed buildings and stuff.
Okay.
All right, I tried to find an barons. Exit from the warehouse.
Okay, a different exit?
Yeah.
Okay.
One that provides me egress from the warehouse itself.
There's the loading dock. That's where the trucks came in. It's right. Open. So
that's where Eve is?
No.
No, I'm in another door. I'll come with you over there.
Okay. Let's try the loading dock. Do we know if there's dudes there?
There aren't any dudes there.
All right. So I'm just trying to get to the south gate.
If you exit the loading dock, you'll see a path, a winding path, which leads you straight to the gate. You will also pass a storage unit, so perhaps you would be careful and perhaps check that out, but use your priorities.
All right.
You exit the loading dock, and you see the three guys touching Mercy, who's on the floor in pain.
What's the range?
200 feet.
And their backs to us?
Yeah.
All right, time to fucking, like...
Can we synchronize so that we shoot at the same time?
Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that Mercy ducks and gets out of the way.
Well, she's out of the shot. She's on the ground and stuff.
Oh, she is?
I think.
I am.
Okay. You collapsed, yeah.
What's an objective way of picking dudes? Like you can't do like 3 o'clock, 12 o'clock. Like how do you go?
The two of you are together. You both look at each other and say, "I'll take this one. I'll take that one. I am not with you, so I will take the one that is remaining."
Spencer, can I say to the gentleman, this is. thank you. I know this is such an inconvenience, but if the three of you, this is the way my therapist explained to me that it was the way that this ended. If the three of you could just turn towards each other, and I will walk away, symbolizing me walking away from my pain. If you just for a moment can link and just stare at the ground, it will take just 30 seconds or so. And I thank you so much. And If I ever meet you again, I promise I'll be generous with my kindness.
Lock and load, guys. Lock and load.
You're already fine. Just have each of them hold between one and three fingers up. It's too lengthy a process. We'll take care of it.
I'm just having them. I'm just wanting to get away from the situation, yeah. So they're just standing.
All right, we'll go with Hortigum's plan.
Hortigard.
I'll just kill whoever I can, and he'll kill. We'll just start killing people.
I'm using stick and shock on mine because I prefer non-lethal if I can.
Well, okay.
All right.
If you want to go up there and cut their throats when they're down,
I can't. If I could get close, I would stun baton them. I don't like to kill people.
The one you stun, I will take out.
I'm not stunning anybody. I'm not going to get that close. I'm going to shoot them in the head with my gun.
I feel like... But could they really kill all guards at once? Find out next time.
Thank you, everybody. All right. Jamarge Brown, thank you so much. Aaron McGathy, Spencer Crittenden. Jamal, thank you for coming up. I'm Jeff Davis. Dan Harmon, your mayor, everybody. Next week, there'll be music for Shadowrun. It's going to be very exciting.
If you want to know whose music we played tonight, I'm assuming there's somewhere you can go, right?
Yeah, we'll post that online for the on the website, and we'll make sure everybody knows about the...